Acts chapter 20. You know, one of the things that I like to really make sure we teach our children is that gimme, gimme, gimme never gets. Amen? Gimme, gimme, gimme never gets. It's important that we all learn that, not just the children, even as adults, because, folks, we live in a world where our flesh naturally always craves more stuff and more riches. We live in a world where the entire advertising industry is designed to psychologically manipulate us in thinking, I still don't have enough. And, you know, let's be honest. It's not just, well, teenagers. No, it's adults have peer pressures too, right? And you know what? If everybody else has the newest iPhone, oh, maybe I should get it too. Hey, I got Android. I'm just fine, right? gimme, gimme, gimme never gets. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us some very wonderful principles in His Word on how to deal with our finances in a God-honoring way. And I wanted to start out here by reading Acts chapter 20 in verse 35 this morning. And then we're going to pray. Acts 20, verse 35. We have, of course, here the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's saying this, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much, Lord, that you are our greatest treasure this morning. Lord, truly, you have paid it all for us because we all face a price that none of us could even begin to pay. Thank you so much for your precious blood. Thank you so much for your sacrifice on the cross for us. And Lord, help us, especially in these busy winter months, Lord, as so many get sick, as so many are so distracted and are so busy, Lord, as the days get shorter, so many things that want to distract us from how precious you are, from how much you've done for us, for how wonderful you are. And Father, I pray that you help us to keep our focus on thee. Lord, we pray that you would help us to glean your wisdom from this lesson this morning. Father, I sure need your help to teach what you need to have said this morning. And I pray you bless it and empower it, Lord. We yield ourselves to you now with everything that we are and everything that we have through you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I wanted to start out by reminding us once again of that principle because it is so contrary, not just to our really natural nature, it is also so contrary to the philosophy and agenda that we see in the world we live around. And we always compare ourselves with the Joneses, as the saying goes, and everybody always has to get more. We see that maybe at no time more than especially during the Christmas shopping season, and how tragic that out of all times when the focus ought to be more than it, on anything else on the Lord Jesus, we see people being distracted by material things, by riches, by making the extra buck to spend some extra money, the advertising that's being pushed upon us, and you know, you got Black Friday sales, you got Cyber Monday sales, you got Boxing Day sales, and the Lord says, you know what, that's not going to make you happy. The word blessed means happy. And God says, you know what? You'll be more happy when you go against the stream, when you don't involve yourself in the agenda and philosophies of gimme, 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 because that's not going to make you happy. No, it is more blessed to rather give than to receive. Now, we all grow up just, oh, I want to receive. I want to receive, right? That's our nature. And God says, no, no, no. Let me give you some wisdom. God says in 2 Corinthians 9 that He loves the cheerful giver. And so, of course, last week we've talked a little bit about tithing and what the Scripture teach on that throughout the Old and New Testament. And Folks, one thing that I always encourage our church family is, you know, is, hey, if you can't give with a cheerful heart, you might as well not give, right? It ought to be out of love, out of thankfulness, from a cheerful heart to the Savior. That's the kind of worship through our finances and through our time and our resources that He desires. And we've looked at several passages of Scripture and several principles in regards to finances and giving last week. And I want to pick that back up this morning in the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. It's one of your minor Old Testament prophets. Pretty short book, but very, very interesting, very powerful prophet. In Haggai chapter 1 there in verse 5 down to verse 7. Or let's go into verse 4 actually. Haggai chapter 1 verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now, when you look at verse 2, you see he's referring there to the Lord's house, to the temple. People of Israel, the Jews, were brought back by the Lord from Babylonian exile to Jerusalem. And they were supposed to build again the temple to worship God, and the temple lay waste. And it wasn't being built. But meanwhile, we see in verse 4, the people themselves, they had fancy mansions. They had gotten quite comfortable and quite nice homes. Now, I don't think God is against having nice homes, but he is against neglecting the things of God. Amen. Verse 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about that a little bit. Meditate on your priorities, child of God. Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You must have had lots of little kids like I do. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holds. That sounds way too familiar, doesn't it? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Have you ever felt like you're putting your income, your wages into a bag with holds or a bank account with holds? Amen. Well, the Lord is saying here that in the situation of the nation of Israel, the reason is they were lacking his blessing upon their work, upon their income, upon their harvest and so forth. And the reason being is that they neglected the things of God and they didn't put the worship of God first by building his temple. They worked so hard trying to get ahead. They worked so hard and invested everything into trying to fit in and catch up to, you know, all the nations around them. And yet God said, guys, remember what the focus is? Let's build the house to worship the Lord. Now, a lot of people ask me, oh, you know, do I get punished? Do I get cursed by God if I don't tithe in the New Testament? And that's a good question, because the fact of the matter is we are not under the law of Moses. We live according to the law of the Spirit, and so we follow different principles because we are not the nation of Israel, all right? And so we do not see that curse clearly pronounced as such in the New Testament as we see that in the Old Testament. But what we do definitely see is that I believe we will miss out on a great amount of blessings from the Lord when we fail to honor Him with our money. If you earn, let's say, $100, I believe, as we've looked throughout the Scripture last week and this week, I believe it is wiser for the Christian to honor God and to tithe and, you know, if possible, to give even beyond that. And let's say to live with $80 or $90 and put that in a bag without holds. Then to keep all $100 for yourself in a bag with holds, wouldn't you think? Amen. The Lord, in Luke chapter 6, of course, mentions something to that accord there as well in the Sermon on the Mount, in Luke 6, 38. But I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 3 real quick. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 9 and 10. Who'd like to read that for us, please? If you could help me out here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Lord Jesus reminded us that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I understand whenever the pastor gets up to talk about finances, people get a bit nervous. And it's very awkward to talk about. But if the Lord talks about it quite a bit, and he does, just study the book of Proverbs. There's dozens and dozens of principles on finances. I think it's important for us to consider. I think it's important for us to consider, especially when so many people are struggling, and the Lord maybe want to help us with that. Luke chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Who has that for it? Yes, thank you, brother.
It's Proverbs, actually.
I'm sorry, yes, correct. Yeah, Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10.
Yeah. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Thank you. So once again, we see the principle here that God blesses those who put him first with their possessions. Substance means wealth, riches, or possessions. First fruits is referring to something that's first in time, first in place, or first in rank or order. In other words, it's your first priority, right? You don't give God what you have left. You give God first and foremost before you do anything else with that income. And then the word increase refers to income, gain, revenue, or, you know, the fruit, let's say, in regards to a harvest. So he says here that we are to honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. In words, all your income that the Lord provides you with. And so I just wanted to explain this here real quick in regards to tithing. Again, we talked about that lots last week. But I believe that this is referring here to your entire actual income. In other words, your gross income before taxes that the Lord wants us to tithe on. If you think about it, because your deductions, your taxes that the government steals, I mean, takes, deducts from your check, amen, is technically already money that you're spending of the income that you get, right? Let's say you get, I don't know, what, you know, $20 by your employer, and you know, you say, well, I'm just seeing, you know, I don't know, $17.85 of that in my actual bank account. The fact of the matter is you're still getting $18, right? And so the lovely government is taking its share of that, as always. and yet, you know, technically, that is already you investing some of your money, right? And you're supposed to get something in return for that, whether that is the social and services that we have from the government, the healthcare, the, you know, military security, all these different things. And so I wanted to answer that question as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we see there in the context of the Apostle Paul raising funds for the needy church in Jerusalem, which, by the way, the poorest of churches are many times in the New Testament commended for the most generous giving. I find that amazing. I mean, look at what the Apostle Paul says about the church in Philippi, in the letter to the Philippians, and their sacrificial giving to his missions work out of their great poverty. It's amazing. And they seem to be also the most joyful churches and the most blessed of churches. Now, let me make this very, very clear. We're not talking about prosperity gospel. We're not talking, oh, you know, sowing your seed and all that nonsense. We're just talking about trusting God and putting him first, all right, and obeying his will for us. And so there, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we see how they brought these donations, their financial giving on the first day of the week to the church. It says there, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so we could look at other examples. We don't have the time tonight, but this morning. but suffice it to say that we see that pattern, whether it be in the Old Testament with the temple or here in the New Testament church, where they, on a regular basis, whether that be weekly or, you know, in the Old Testament, they were paid daily usually, as well as in Jesus' day. And so it made sense to bring it in weekly, their tithes. If you're being paid bimonthly or monthly, I don't see anything in the New Testament that tells you you can't give monthly your tithe. However you do that, just obey the Lord and put him first. That's the important part. Remember, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I wanted to start out with that. Not because, you know, we need to stand up here begging for money or anything. God will take care of his church, with or without you. Because it's his church, and he's promised to do so. The question is, do we get in on the blessing? It is more blessed. It's more happy to give than to receive, than to be the gimme, 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 right? And so once again, so contrary to the philosophy seen in the world around us. I wanted to also continue to look into a few other principles in regard to our finances that go beyond how we worship God with them and how we put God first. Because the fact of the matter is, we do need money to pay our bills. Amen? And it seems to be more and more that we need, just to even cover our roof. And God knows that. He knows what you have need of before we even ask, right? And so God knows and understands our needs. And in those needs, he exactly wants us to put him first. Let me turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. Verses 31 to 33. Who would like to read that for us, please? Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 down to verse 33. Sure, thank you, Brother Jeff.
Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or, what shall we drink? Or, wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Thank you. And so, in other words, God is personally obligating himself to make it his personal business to look out for your needs, even your material, your financial needs, if you are putting him first. If you're first seeking his kingdom, if you're first seeking to follow him in righteousness. And he can't do that, though, unless you and I are willing to trust him by faith with those needs. It's many times, you know, I struggle with that, right? And we give God our needs, we trust him with that, and then we pick it back up. And God says, oh, you know, this is too heavy for you. Can I take it back from you, right? And so we cast our cares upon him again, and we need to remind it of that again and again. God knows our needs, and if we're willing to obey him, if we're willing to trust him with our needs, he is willing to obligate himself to look out for us. That's pretty powerful. That's very comforting, isn't it, amen? Now, God didn't promise you a pool in your backyard or a private jet. All right? Anyone who promises you that is a liar and a false teacher. But he did promise to look out for you and your needs. Amen? Why don't you turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And hopefully we're not going too fast through this. I just want to give some pointers and some encouragement. As we live in a world that is so finances, so... materialistically oriented, and I think to deny that that affects us even as Christians, it's just being ignorant of our human nature. Amen. So God says, you know what? I want to look out for you. I want you to trust with my needs, but there's also part I want you to do. And I want you to work hard. I want you to fulfill the purpose for which you've been designed. Did you know that when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he put them there to fulfill a job, to have a purpose in there, and to tend to the garden, and to look after it? You and I are created, we're by design made for work. And so the laziness that so many times wants to take over in our nature is a rebellion against God's design for us. By the way, it doesn't make us happy. You know, there's so many statistics over long term that show, especially in men, some of the greatest rates of depression, of health problems, of all sorts of struggles is among those who are continue out of regular work. Now, mind you, for those who are physically unable, right, this is a completely different story. This is not what this is referring to here. This is referring to those who can and should work. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. This is what the Bible says. Proverbs 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with the slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So there's this contrast here. The one that has a slack hand, the one who's too lazy to pick up the plow, so to speak, who's, you know, turning himself around on the bed like the hinges of the door, right? And the one, you know, who gets up, gets going, says, hey, you know what, I got a job to do. I got work to do, and I want to get her done. Now, we all lack motivation sometimes, right? Because let's be honest. Many, if not most of us, don't work in necessarily the dream job we've always wanted to do, right? Sometimes we just need to pay our bills. So here's one thing that has really helped me to stay motivated to try to do my best at work. And that is when I see in the New Testament in Ephesians as well as Colossians that the Apostle Paul encourages us to do our work as unto the Lord. Not to please my boss, because he may be, you know, a jerk and may never be pleased. not just, you know, to bring home the bacon for my family or anything like that, or, you know, to pay my mortgage. No, I ought to do it out of a motivation to the Lord. It's like, oh, the pastor, he has such a wonderful job. He gets paid all week to just pray and read his Bible. First of all, there's much more than that. Secondly, it would be so easy. Why doesn't everybody do it, right? But secondly, you can work for the Lord too, 24/7. Did you know that? That's just the pastor or the missionary somewhere. If you go to your job every single morning as unto the Lord, when you clock out, you do that as unto the Lord and everything in between, you serve the Lord for 10, 12 hours that day. That's pretty cool, amen? And then you do it motivated for him and as unto him. And I believe when we do that faithfully, God will reward that, not just in this life, but even in the life to come. I want to read one more version out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The Bible says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So there you go. This is just all talks about the soul, all right? Not your belly, all right? being made fat in the Old Testament was a picture of abundance, of blessing, all right? Once again, we see that contrast there. God wants us to work. You know, in the book of Proverbs, he refers us to the picture of the ant that gets going, that is diligent, that works, and tells us to learn from that ant. Amen. One more verse of scripture In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, God wants us to be diligent in our work to provide for families and bring in our income. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, "Therefore, even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." That's a pretty strong principle. Now, again, it's not talking about some disabled person or a senior that has Alzheimer's or anything, right? Obviously, the Lord makes it very clear in the New Testament as well. Take care of the widows, take care of the orphans, take care of the needy. That's very clear. No, he's talking about those who can and should work. Including children, by the way, I believe. Now, obviously not child labor, in the coal mine somewhere, but, I quote this verse of Scripture when I'm trying to teach my children diligence, because it doesn't come natural to any of us. It's just like, well, the dishes need to get done. You don't need to do them, but then you also don't need to eat. You won't die when you miss a meal, but you get a lot of motivation all of a sudden when you're hungry enough to do your work, amen? anyways, that's just on the side note there. Another truth that I just quickly want to mention, because I'm by no means, an expert or financial advisor of any kind, but as we go through this topic in our discipleship booklet, I just really wanted to take some time to give some practical help with that. The next verse of Scripture is in Proverbs 27. Do you see how much we find in the book of Proverbs and finances already? And we're just scratching the surface. Proverbs 27 and verse 23. I believe it is a wise thing for the Christian to have a budget and to learn how to work with a budget. Now, however you do that today you have apps and all that stuff. However you get that done practically. But I believe the Lord wants us to know where our money is going. Not just to spend it, for 2-3 weeks and then all of a sudden, ooh, now I got half the month left, but my bank account is empty. How did that happen? Well, we ought to know how that happened so we can deal about it, right? He says there, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." Now, you and I don't have much sheep or goat around anymore unless you have a country property. But we do have bank accounts, amen? That's where our investments, that's where our finances are laying today. God says, hey, I want you to know where you're at with that. I want you to keep track of things. I want you to tell your money where to go instead of spending it and wondering where it all went. So just some practical wisdom there. There's a number of other principles that I would love to look at, but I think we're going to have to do this some other time. I want to look at one more verse in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And by the way, if you got some more questions about that, we may need at least one more lesson on this. We'll see, Lord willing. But there's so many more principles that would be really good to talk about. Always feel free to come up afterwards and chat with me if you get some questions or use our Sunday nights. Amen. We had so much fun the other night with the question and answer time that I've decided we may start to do this on a monthly basis. And so I want to encourage you to make that out for that. We got it in our new bulletin there, the date, and ask questions. And you never know. Your question, maybe somebody else's question as well, right? Where are we at here? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Say, what does God say here? I need to go hunting? May not be a bad idea if you can. But I think the point here is to not be wasteful. All right? Don't be wasteful. Be rather resourceful. I mean, use what you already got. In regards to your needs, try to be thrifty. Try to be thrifty, as our old saying goes. Now, I don't believe God is teaching us to be stingy, all right? But we ought to be not wasteful. You know, probably the best way to get rich, or at least richer, and to stay rich is not to make more money, but rather to spend less money. And I believe the Lord knows that secret, that principle. In John chapter 6, for example, we see how he told his disciple to not even waste the pieces of food that had fallen on the floor after feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000 there. And they picked it all up and put it in baskets. Now, of course, the Lord had a spiritual illustration for that as well. But I do believe that the Lord himself was not wasteful neither. And he was thrifty, if you will. When I look at the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, that is how I picture her as well. She's working willingly with her hands, and she does anything and everything to take care of the needs of her family. And I believe we see there, in a sense, how she is a very thrifty, godly woman. And once again, I don't think that means to be stingy. We have some verses of scripture on that as well, but it does mean to not be wasteful. Say, what are some examples? And I want to close with that, just some practical examples. And I'm just sharing some tips from my own experience. This may look different in your life, but for example, I'd love to grab a coffee, but I don't need a coffee for $5-7. I can get it for probably a dollar or less when I make it at home, right? So now, if I go out with one of you and, we grab a $7 coffee, that's not a waste, right? That's not being stingy and maybe investing in a relationship. But, when I get up in the morning or when, I don't need to, on my way to work, grab that $7, $10, $12 coffee. I can get it for a dollar at home and make it myself. Probably saves time too, by the way. And so there's so many different ways we can be less wasteful and more resourceful. My wife, she's really good at that, by the way. I believe she's a true Proverbs chapter 31 woman. And I just want to close with some practical tips that she's found out. One thing that she uses is the Flash Food app on her phone. You can download that, Flash Food. And you sign up there, and at the superstores and wholesales here in town, you can get drastically reduced food that is, maybe close to expiration date or just over. Still perfectly fine. And, you get it for, a $7 item for a dollar. That sort of a thing. Or, meat 50% off. Or, whole box of vegetables or fruit for $5. Hey, that'll feed the family. So the Flash Food app. There's another app. It's called Too Good To Go. Too Good To Go, and that has a similar concept. I think that connects to the 7-Eleven stores. I think we ought to be very careful whether we have a credit card or not. Some of us should not have a credit card. If you can't control your credit card spending, you should not have it, right? I know one of my family members, he was in so much credit card debt, and the Lord kept convicting him about that. And so what he did is he took all his credit cards, cut them up, put them in the garbage, and hasn't taken a credit card ever since. And guess what? It really helped him get out of debt. But some of us have to use a credit card for a credit history if you can control your credit card spending and you make sure to always pay your full bill and don't go above what you can budget for that credit card bill. There are ways you can make money through that as well. My wife and I use pretty much exclusively is the President's Choice MasterCard. And there we get 1 cent in points on every dollar that we spend. Right? I'm not getting any affiliate links or anything, right? I'm just trying to help folks out because it's tough. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I'd love to come to church, but I can't afford it. And so what we do here at the church every once in a while, and we'll do that again here towards the end of the year, is we give out gas gift cards and grocery gift cards. Because people are really in need. It's so expensive in our city. So we would use that MasterCard to pay, our phone bill and just about anything that we can pay because we get a cent on every dollar we spend. And matter of fact, between depending on the gas, but between 3.5 cents and up to 7.5 cents fueling up. Then we get a discount by using that MasterCard at certain gas stops. We buy a lot of our clothes in thrift stores. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, for some people that's unthinkable, and hey, that's your decision. But you know, we got a good washer, so I got no problems with that. You know, if you can't afford the vehicle at this point, it's like, well, I'm just going to take more debt. No, you find a different way. I mean, whether it's go cheaper with a bus or a bike, whatever it is. There's so many free food markets here in town, and you can be very welcome to chat with my wife about that if you're interested, where every week you could get armloads of really nice groceries if you're struggling. So I want to encourage folks to put God first in our finances, to trust Him with our needs, and to look at practical biblical principles on how God helps us to look out for our financial needs. I love it, folks, that the Bible is practical. So that's what I want to encourage us with. And so let's bow in prayer this morning. Father, I ask you to help us more. I ask you to help us to love you more than anything in this world. Lord, help us to always invest more in heaven, because truly it is worthy for all eternity. Lord, thank you that you don't ask anything from us because you've given everything for us already. It's just a privilege to serve you. Just a privilege, a blessing to love you back, Lord. We pray you help us with that. We ask this in Jesus' name.